During this past week, I was listening to a little bit of a debate that was taking place between a Catholic and a Protestant scholar. And the debate wasn't about any particular part of theology. It was about Our Lady of Fatima and the events that occurred there in Fatima between May the 13th and October the 13th of 1917. Now, as this debate went on, they recognized the fact that whenever some sort of supernatural or extraordinary event is claimed, it has to have one of three sources. It can be from God, it can be from the devil, or it can be from people's own imagination. People might have hallucinated or that sort of thing. That third option they basically eliminated because it's hard to deny the facts of what took place on October the 13th with the miracle of the sun and the healings that took place. You really can't deny that something extraordinary took place. So they sort of took out that third option. But the Catholic scholar was arguing that this was from God. This was a message from God. The Protestant scholar was arguing that this was something from the devil. And one of the things that he used to justify his position, and the thing that he couldn't square with his own understanding of the message of Jesus, was the whole area of suffering. What he found, or what he saw, at least this was one of the areas that he had trouble with. What he saw was the sufferings or the penances that the children took upon themselves, that he saw those as excessive, and that something like that wouldn't be from God. So that's the basis, in a sense, on which he argued all of this. But as you look at things like this kind of a debate, how do we know which is right? How do we know which position is the correct one? This is why we need a shepherd. We need somebody to guide us in the ways of truth. Because we can't figure it all out simply on our own. And especially as society generally departs from the ways of God, it becomes more and more difficult for people to see things and to judge things correctly. Even, you know, when we talk about the mysteries of our faith, the mysteries that we find contained in the sacraments, and what takes place through there when we hear the very last words of Jesus in today's gospel, when he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Well, what kind of life is he talking about? He's not talking about human life. He's talking about divine life. He's talking about God's life. But how is that communicated to us? You know, when we're talking about these great mysteries, we can only know them because of revelation, because God has revealed these things to us. But today, what really shows that we've gone astray, what really shows that we have departed to a great extent from the ways of God, is that we can't even agree on the Ten Commandments. We can't even agree on the basic tenets of morality, how we are to live our lives, what we are to do in order to remain in a proper relationship with Almighty God. I'll give you an example. About 100 years ago, for people to just sort of follow the morality in society generally, you know, wasn't so bad, because society generally had beliefs, convictions that were basically corresponding to what we saw within our Catholic faith as to what is good and what is not good. What we are to do, what we are to not do. And even among Christians, there were a lot of different things where we agreed basically on the different tenets of morality. But in the last 100 years, things have diverged, where the morality of society has begun to unravel, and unravel fairly significantly. The example I want to give to you comes from a scholar from the United States that I think is a very, very wise individual, not a Catholic person, but very wise individual. His name is Dr. Thomas Sowell. And one of the things he tells, he states in one of his books, he talks about the tale of two blackouts. And he talks about these two blackouts that took place in New York City. One, I believe, was in the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken, and one would have been more in the 1960s or the 1970s. But he says that when that blackout took place in the 1960s or the 1970s, what happened was all sorts of looting, stealing, all sorts of things like that that people thought that they could get away with under the cover of darkness. But if you go back to the blackout that took place in the 1950s, what happened then is that crime actually decreased. There was a decrease in the level of crime during that blackout. And it's because back in the 1950s, people generally believed that stealing was wrong. And because they believed that stealing was wrong, even when they had the opportunity, they didn't do it because they recognized that it was wrong. And once the Ten Commandments were taken out of the schools, once that base of morality was no longer taught to people, all of a sudden, under the cover of darkness, now if I can get away with it, I'll do it. Even to the point today, again, something else I was listening to this week, this one fellow who's gained some prominence, I can't even remember his name, but he's gained some prominence down in the States, and people are giving him airtime and giving him, you know, a hearing, as if he has a point to make. But he's justifying stealing as something that's good to do, something that's not wrong at all. And so we see how morality has unraveled over the course of the years. And this is why more than any time we need a shepherd to guide us. Now, of course, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one who has shown his love for us because he laid down his life for us. He's the one who has revealed the truth to us so that we can know what we need to do. We can know what path we need to follow. But does Jesus guide us in a direct manner, or does he guide us in more of an indirect manner? In other words, do we sort of just listen to the voice of Jesus on our own? Or does Jesus raise up other shepherds in order to guide and direct us? Well, I think it's pretty obvious that the latter is the case, that Jesus doesn't guide us directly, but he guides us through other shepherds. And we can see this in the teaching that Jesus gave in the New Testament about appointing shepherds to watch over his church, when he appointed, for example, Peter at the very end of the Gospel of John, feed my sheep, look after my sheep, take care of my lambs, all of these different things. And through the ministry that Peter had in the Acts of the Apostles, all of these different things. But even throughout the history of the church, these last 2,000 years, we can see that God has shepherded his church through other people. Imperfect people, certainly. But this is the way that God has chosen to shepherd and guide his church. And the more that we think that we can be our own pope, that we can sort of decide for ourselves, the more we're going to go astray. The more we're going to be doing things or following ways that are not compatible with the ways of Jesus. And as we accept the teaching that it comes to us through the church, because again, one of the things we find in the New Testament that, you know, when we're talking about listening, that's what we heard in today's gospel, listening to the voice of Jesus. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. They know my voice and they follow me. So we have to have that desire to hear the voice of Jesus. But what does Jesus say in the New Testament when he says to his apostles? He says, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. In other words, if we fail to listen to the church, we're failing to listen to Jesus. One of the early fathers of the church says, he cannot have God as his father who does not have the church for his mother, that if we depart from that guidance, we're going to make all sorts of mistakes and sometimes very serious mistakes that will lead us away from God. For example, if the church tells us that a particular thing is gravely sinful, that something is gravely evil, but society itself says, oh, no, that's fine, you know, not a problem, you know, do what you want to do. If we listen to society, we could be doing things that are gravely offensive to Almighty God. We could be departing from the path that leads to eternal life. As much as we might say that we're following Jesus, if we're not listening to the voice of him, we're not really following him. We're not really doing the things that Jesus wants us to do to inherit eternal life. So again, God has given all of this to us for our benefit. For our benefit, so that we can avoid the evils of this world. You know, like we heard in today's first reading when St. Peter says, save yourself from this corrupt generation. You know, that's the advice that Peter gave to those first followers. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. In many ways, that same advice is being given to us. God gives us that opportunity. Or when we go back to the whole reality of Fatima and one of the messages that was given to us through Our Lady in her apparitions at Fatima, where Mary said to us through the children, she said, stop offending God, because he is already too much offended. So this is the advice that we're given, to follow in the ways of God. But the only way that we can know what is pleasing to God and the things that displease God is if we listen to the revelation that he has given to us in the church. Some things we might be able to figure out on our own, but a great number of the things, especially when we are immersed in a culture that is so opposed to the things of God, the more easily we can be deceived if we are just following our own guidance. If we're just following our own impulses or that, we're going to be off the tracks. So we want to listen to the guidance of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who shows that he loves us. And part of the way that Jesus shows his love for us is by giving the church to us and the shepherds of the church to lead us and to guide us in his ways. And now let us profess our faith in God, and we'll use the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now let us offer to God our prayers of